1:6-8 to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. And lest I forget it, at the very beginning, let me remind you that after a brief monologue, you can call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today, simply put, things that should concern us. Now I realize there are a lot of people that are caught up and involved in your shopping and building your life and going to school and going to work and getting things done that we call the normal routine of life. I understand that. It's easy to get on that track and fail to recognize there's some global things, national things, local things that should grasp our concern and our attention. And I believe one of those things, or several of those things, I should say, deal with what is taking place today, at this moment, on a global, national, international basis, as well as what's happening in America in relationship to the morals, ethics, and values in our nation. I think that we need to be not worried, because God's still on the throne. We ought not to be frightened, because God still has it under control. We ought not to be intimidated, because God is the one that's carrying out the battle before us. But from a human standpoint, from a Christian conservative and patriot standpoint, I believe there are things that we need to be concerned about. For example, as we talk about some of those things today, are you concerned about what's happening in Iran? What kind of concern do you have? Are you fearful that somehow, some way, we will get tangled up, tied up, boots on the ground in Iran? Are you concerned about, are you worried about, are you just wanting to understand more of what is taking place on an international front that some of the media is not covering? Should we be concerned about the fact that there is a great apostasy, a falling away of the churches from the churches today? Should we be concerned that in our schools across America, there's still a push to continue the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, even though by executive order, President Trump has said no? Are you concerned that there's still a major push to teach and push DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in our schools across America? Are you concerned that in our courts we find the U.S. extreme courts that's ruling against anything that President Donald J. Trump wants to do? Are you concerned that there seems to be a dismantling of the three branches of government and making the Supreme Court the chief ruler over the other two branches in our federal government? Are you concerned that we are finding on every hand the undermining and the destroying, the destruction of law and order in our nation, that we're seeing lawlessness on our streets? That's just a few things. I could go on and on and on. And of course, time won't allow us to cover all of those issues today. But simply put, there are things that Christians, conservatives, and patriots ought to be aware of We ought to know about, we ought to be concerned about them, and concerned enough to pray and ask God to divinely intervene and give our nation relief and protection, and most of all, protecting our Bill of Rights, including our religious liberties and freedom of speech. So that's where we're going. And after a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines, invite you to dial in. Join in the dialogue and discussion. I've had some on some occasions say, well, I just want to put in my 2 cents worth. Well, you can put in a nickel's worth if you want to of where you stand and your questions. Love to have your questions. Love to know your position. If whether you agree or disagree, we'll not be disagreeable, but we'd love to hear from you and what your thoughts are in relationship to this broadcast each day. Is it inspirational, educational, informative, and challenging to you? Or do you find problems with it? I'd like to hear from you today in relationship to the issues as we touch on them. Today, ladies and gentlemen, American troops amounting to about 40,000 and about one-third of America's military equipment are in or around Iran. I should say surrounding Iran. The real question is not if we're going to attack or strike, but when. That's part and parcel of what we'll discuss today. But let me remind you, as we discuss these issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book because when Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to frame that, discuss that, analyze just that, those two verses for just a moment. Jesus says, if there's a decision there that needs to be made, if you continue, constantly dwell, stay in my word. Didn't say if you constantly stay in the comic books or in some philosophical, psychological babble book. Didn't say that. If you continue in my word, we're talking about the written, revealed, inspired Word of God. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. If you continue in my word, then, didn't say if you just memorize John 3:16, if you just memorize one or two verses here and there, if you open the Bible once or twice a year, if you go take your Bible and put it on the dashboard of your car, on the rear deck of your car as you drive to church, or if you leave it on your nightstand, or if you let it collect dust, didn't say that. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Disciple, follower, believer, indeed means truly, surely. The evidence of a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, is the continuum in the word of God. And Jesus then says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply tie up the thoughts. If we stay in the Word of God, continue in the Word of God, reading, studying, and abiding by what the Word of God says, it is then that we'll know what's happening. The reason I say that is because in God's Word, it gives us the progressive revelation of God to man. And as we study the Word of God, we realize that what God has done, is doing, and shall do, is already written, revealed in the inspired Word that God has given us called the Bible. And it's going to set us free. We're not going to be bound by the demonic forces that are out in the world today. We're not going to be bound by the false ideology, by some denominational dogma. We're not going to be bound by those philosophical rhetorics that come out of the political machine today. We'll be free in the understanding of the realization, because of the revelation of God to man, the realization that God is still on the throne. And ladies and gentlemen, in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord shall endure forever. That's a pretty comforting statement. I don't know about you, but it's comforting to me. Or George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factually true even today. I believe it's evidence that we're moving further and further away from the centrality of the truth of the Word of God. And yet we find, according to a survey done about a year ago, headline reads, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. It goes on to say in the article that 55% of the Americans, the millennial age group, says each person determines their own version of truth. We're in a deep, deep, deep pit if that number continues to increase. 55% is a horrifying number. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is in the realm of the millennial age group that's carrying out most of the leadership in America from the standpoint of the grassroots efforts, the elections, the offices, the ones that make decisions for us. And if that percentage of Americans today disbelieve in absolute truth, we're in deep trouble. And I look at another headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And the article goes on to talk about how the media and education, academia, and the governmental systems are all joined together and are not being honest and truthful with American citizens. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that points out the decline of the death of America, or America's decline is linked to the death of truth, the article headline says. And DeMint goes on with this statement. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. End quote. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my chide. That's my challenge. That's my encouragement each and every day. That as Christians, we seek the truth, listen to it, love it, learn it, tell it, live it, and defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open our telephone lines. Invite you to call in 904-831-0917 and join in the dialogue discussion. You may have other things that you think we need to be concerned about today as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about things that should concern us. I'm looking at an article that was an extraction from Facebook, and it says, two American aircraft, 40,000 troops, and hundreds of fighter jets. The U.S. military buildup around Iran is the largest since 2003 Iraq invasion. What do you think about that? Should we become involved? Is it possible? I'm asking the question, not making a statement now. Is it possible that we ought not to be involved? Is it possible that somehow, some way, there's an error? In fact, false, phony news got the word out that the one raising Cain, General Cain, that is in charge when we wiped out some of the nuclear weaponry for Iran just a few months back, and that is simply untrue. General Cain, raising Cain, if you want to refer to him as that, is ready. He's the one that's putting all the military forces in position. He's the one that President Trump is depending on to give guidance and directions for a precise precision strike, whatever we do, in Iran. But the case is being made, in fact, around the globe. All of the embassies, every embassy that is headquartered in Tehran, in Iran, is now their country is calling them back. I'm looking at a headline. In fact, it's on the embassy of Iran, how would you say, letterhead, and it says the Indian embassy in Tehran has issued an urgent warning asking all Indian citizens in Iran, including students, pilgrims, tourists, businessmen, to immediately leave the country using any available means of transportation to get out. It has four articles in the letter. In continuation of the advisory issued by the government of India on January the 5th, 2026, and in view of the evolving situation in Iran, Indian nationals who are currently in Iran, students, pilgrims, business people, et cetera, are to leave by any available means of transportation. Then it goes on with three other points in it, giving the telephone numbers and the email addresses of those to call for emergency help to get them out of Iran. Now, listen, I don't believe the heads of nations around the world would make that kind of decision, would make that kind of direction, give that kind of directions to clean out, to clear out, and to exempt any potentiality of their nationals from being harmed, hurt, or killed in any strike that America would have against Iran. And by the way, the question some might ask, well, will America carry out that strike alone? My most humble opinion is no. I believe that whatever Trump does in relationship to Iran will be in tandem, will be in communication, will be in a joint venture between America and Israel. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, you might ask the question, why should Christians be so concerned or have any interest at all in what is taking place in Iran? It is simply because Iran, let me just touch on this, and we'll dig deeper on this a little later in the broadcast. It's a simple matter that according to my Bible and the eschatological prophetic text in the Word of God, Iran will be one of the key, listen, K-E-Y, key players in the final wrap-up in the last days in this old world, according to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Ladies and gentlemen, Iran is wedded to the hip with Russia. Russia will lead five nations against the nation of Israel, and it will escalate into a global conflagration that some call World War III. According to the Bible, it'll be the Russian invasion leading five nations to come in and to wipe out the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. Now you might ask the question, and rightly so, why would Russia be so antagonistic and angry at Israel, that little postage stamp, that it would seem as though Russia has the military power, the nuclear power, to go in and with one fell swoop wipe out the landmass, including all the people in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, ladies and gentlemen, the Jewish people are hated of all people around the globe. And you wonder why? Study the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. You will find that it is as a result of the fact that it is out of Israel, out of the Jewish people, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was birthed into this world. And it's a demonic hatred against Jesus because of who he is, what he's done, and what he stands for. And it's that demonic hatred that we're wrestling with today. That demonic battle, and that is found, by the way, very clearly outlined in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse, where in the 12th verse it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. We're battling, ladies and gentlemen, based on what we see in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 and following in particular, where we have wars and rumors of wars, where we have the divisiveness of nations, where we have nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and we're finding that today, ladies and gentlemen, coming to a grand crescendo of the final days before the rapture of the church takes place. So may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the issues today, the things that should concern us, every Christian should be concerned about the events that are taking place on a global basis today. We should be concerned about the invasion of Islam on a global basis. We should be concerned about what is happening in the Ukraine. We should be concerned about the five nations that will follow Russia in coming against Israel. You might be wondering, why is it that the battle the attack of Russia against Ukraine, why has it been dragging out now for some 4 years. Why is it that President Trump said, and I'm not in any way diminishing what he's doing, but Trump said that when several of his election speeches, when he's elected, that in just a few weeks, he could resolve the battle in Ukraine, where Russia's trying to quash them. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's because we're going to see, as I said when the invasion against Ukraine took place, I said we're witnessing now the striking of the match, the lighting of the candle, the beginning of the final days that we'll see in that crescendo that's called the war with Russia. We were witnessing then, and I believe we're witnessing the escalation of the truth of the Word of God coming absolutely to the forefront and hitting the headline news on television and online and on the printed page. Ladies and gentlemen, when we see what is taking place, we understand, ladies and gentlemen, the need for us to be concerned. I believe that all that we're simply seeing today, all that is taking place today, multitudes are simply holding their breath, wondering over the future of Israel, wondering about the future of America, wondering about the unleashing of the military power for the strike against the world's largest financier of global Islamic jihadist terrorism. If you wondered why, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Will this strike, and it will happen, not a matter of if, it's just when. In fact, may I put a little young blood parenthetical footnote on this? I believe that in the State of the Union address tonight by Donald J. Trump, I believe there is a high probability that he will announce that the strike has already taken place, in progress, or he will tell when it will take place, and I don't believe he'll give an exact date. He's been nebulous with the dates. He said on one of his speeches that we would come against and strike Iran in about 10 days. Then it was broadened to between 10 and 15 days. If it's 15 days even, ladies and gentlemen, that would be in the next few days, a few hours. I personally believe, and this is just my footnote to what I'm saying, and I could be 100% wrong, I believe we'll see the strike take place within the next 48 hours, if not before. I believe that is the key element of what we will see. They, the United States military, we've moved in all of the weaponry. We've got all of the available equipment. We've got some 40,000 troops, and as one writer said, about one-third of our major seafaring military apparatus out in the seas and the waterways around the nation of Iran. I believe we're going to see that. But the question is, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What are your thoughts? Should America get involved? Should we strike Iran? What will take place? I've got several questions that I want to postulate for us to think about, talk about on this broadcast today in relationship to this and several other things that I believe we should be concerned about as American patriots, as citizens, as Christians, as conservatives. Number one is, how will Iran respond? We already know from the reports that Iran has already made plans. Listen, perhaps you've heard this, perhaps you haven't. The grand poobahs, I call them, the Ayatollahs, the Khomeinians that's in charge, the religious warped religious philosophy that they've got to kill all Jews, kill all non-believers in Islam. That's the mindset, that's the heartbeat of Islamic jihadists. Now, that's not the heartbeat, generally speaking, of the mindset of the overwhelming hordes of people in Iran. The general citizens want to see their leadership overthrown. But those that are in leadership now, as I understand it in my research, they've already made preparation for their lives to be wiped out, for them to be snatched out, brought back to America to be tried in some fashion. They've made that arrangement. They have pretty good insight, pretty good information, pretty good track of knowing what will take place. So they've already made those preparations, making them finally in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned when we see the lack of interest from the Christian church and from the pastors and the Christians, where there's very little talked about from the pulpits about the dangers in relationship to Islamic jihadists, not only in Iran, not only that's coming against Israel, but those terrorist cells that are all over the United States of America, and now witnessing the Islamic jihadists going into office being elected by the citizens in America. I say citizens, sure, we've got some non-citizens that've been voting. And the SAVE Act, I'm praying that somebody will wake up Mitch McConnell in the Senate so that the SAVE Act can be voted on in the Senate. Perhaps you know, perhaps you don't. Mitch McConnell, which is a rhino, a Mitch McConnell that hates Donald J. Trump, Mitch McConnell that will do anything that will undermine, tear down, and destroy what President Trump wants to do to prepare and to save and to prosper America. Mitch McConnell has said he's not going to let the SAVE Act come on the floor to be voted on in the Senate. You say, what is the SAVE Act? It is an act, ladies and gentlemen, if passed and signed into law, will make sure that our elections are safe, sound, and free, where you have to have the identification, you have to show that you're a U.S. citizen, and have photo ID to be able to vote. Now listen very carefully. The socialist, Marxist, communist in America, the agenda that they have is so that anybody can vote, especially those that are illegal invaders in America. But here's the comical part, if you want to call it that. Johan, whatever his name is, Mandami, the one that is the head of New York City, Zohan, Z-O-H-R-A-N. Listen to this headline. Mandami attends Friday sermon where Imam calls on Islamic angels to kill all the infidels. You didn't misunderstand me. You didn't mishear it. Mandami attends Friday sermon, that's in the Islamic mosque, where Imam, that's the leader in the mosque, we'd call it the preacher, calls on Islamic angel, A-N-G-E-L, to kill the infidels. The dated February 23rd, the New York mayor, Zohan Mandami, addressed in the, and gives the mosque name, Islamic Center in Queens, New York, where he expressed gratitude for the opportunity to run the city. But the imam that's bringing the, quote, message calls on all of those, quote, Islamic angels, that's the marauding Islamic jihadist, to kill the infidels. Now, in Islam, every American, every Christian, every non-Muslim, and every Jew happens to be the infidel. And here's this mayor that, by the way, it's a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist mayor, has now almost reversed everything that he said in his beginning endeavor to woo the people to vote for him to go into office. He's turning New York City into an Islamic center. There are 500 and some odd mosques right in New York City. And at this moment, 24/7, I should say, starting at 3:30 a.m. going through the day, five times a day, on the loudspeakers all over New York City, you hear the call to prayer, called the Islamic call to prayer. And in that call to prayer, it is the prayer goes on the loudspeakers in Arabic, and it is absolutely praising Allah, Allah, the false, phony moon god, praising Allah and asking Allah to overthrow all the infidels, i.e., all of the Americans, all of those that are hearing, are having to tolerate the sound of the five times call to prayer. And here's the thing that is how would you say, telling about Mandami. He promised the people that with his leadership, you'd get a minimum of $30 an hour wages. Because of the snowstorm, they're having to shovel the snow, and so he is encouraged. He just got through with a news briefing yesterday, inviting people in New York to go down to the local fire stations and give two photo IDs, two IDs, and get your shovel, and we will pay you $19 an hour. And yet he had promised in his election speech and in his inaugural speech that he was going to make sure that New Yorkers get $30 an hour and that everything would be free. ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing and watching the House of Cards tumble, but it's too late because he's already in charge. But the point that I want to make is that we're witnessing and watching the tentacles of Islam coming out of Iran that's permeating around the globe, and that thing that is permeating is the Islamic jihadist. And now to have Mamdani go into the mosque on Friday and listen to a message where he is asking for the martyrs of Islam to slay the infidels. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene.